Hard-hitting, intelligent discussion, painstakingly researched, thought-provoking opinions, and deep insight when you need it most. You'll get none of that here. Broadcasting from a secret location deep within America's heartland, Unapologetically Mediocre Studios presents the No Better Than Average podcast with your hosts Jacob Cazell and Jeff Janey.
Hello and welcome to episode number 75 of the No Better Than Average podcast. This is Jeff Janey, and along with me today, as always, is Jacob Cazell. How are you, Jacob?
One of these days I am not going to be here. So when you say as always with me here today, and it's just going to be crickets.
That's okay.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to say and not with us today because he's a big loser.
I wasn't expecting that. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have the Masters up over here on the right that I'm watching, and I'm multitasking during this recording. But you know, it's all good.
I'm surprised you don't have the Rogue One trailer on loop over there on the other screen.
You know what? I have not even watched it yet.
Really?
Well,
shame on you. It's been out for like 10 hours now.
Yeah.
What's your problem? It's 2 minutes of your life.
I know, but I haven't decided yet.
You haven't. It doesn't give away anything that I could tell.
Well, then I'm not missing anything.
Well, no.
It depends on how you look at it, right?
It was very Star Warsy.
Okay. Yeah, I will check it out, but not right this minute because we're recording a show.
I think everybody would understand if we just stopped for 2 minutes and you watched it. We're not going to, but everybody would understand.
No, it's too late now. I'm already on my way. So, as always, if you would like to call and leave us a comment, a question, disbelief in the fact that I have not seen the Rogue One trailer until right now when I hit play, and we're stopping. Looks pretty good. So that, ladies and gentlemen, was me listening to the trailer. Okay. Also, please subscribe to our newsletter over at nobettershow.com/join. Feel free to support the show at www.patreon.com/nobettershow. We will take anything that you throw our way and appreciate it in every way possible.
And I just want to point out that in the last 2 weeks, I have seen two, not one, but two Maseratis. One actually driving down the street of my neighborhood. I got all excited. I thought maybe one of our generous patrons had actually come through and delivered on the Maserati. And then I saw one just out randomly the other day. So I think it is the universe saying, patrons, send us a Maserati. That's how I'm interpreting it.
I like the way you think.
I haven't seen a Maserati on the road in, I don't know, years. And in the last 2 weeks, I see two of them. So
that's a sign of some
kind.
It
is destined. Destined to be.
Destined indeed.
Yeah, that's right. I got a recommendation for some music from Ellen the other day, and I wanted to share it because I checked it out, and it's really catchy. She sent a message and said, hey, check out 21 Pilots. They currently have a top 10 hit, Stressed Out. They combine pop music with some mild rapping. I'm not a fan of rap, but for some reason, I don't hate this. So obviously, that is a glowing endorsement. But yeah, I just listened to their most recent album called Blurry Face. It's on Apple Music,
but
Spotify.
You don't care what I think, right?
That's right. but yeah, it's good. It's catchy. I was not aware of them before. I've not been listening to a lot of top pop stuff, and I liked it. So yeah, two thumbs up. Check out 21 Pilots if you have not. So thank you, Ellen.
Hey, and I got a music recommendation from someone at work.
Oh, cool.
That you might want to check out. They're called Umphreys McGee.
Hipster much?
It's, yeah, Umphrey McGee, and it's really good. I enjoy it.
What kind of music is it?
Yes.
I don't even know what that
is.
It is
music. It's, I don't know. I don't know what you would call it. They have a lot of different styles. They're kind of, you nailed it on the head with hipster, because this guy is total hipster. But they're really more known for their like live music, and they have quite a few live albums available on Apple Music and
okay.
Spotify. So, you know, they're kind of a fishy, I don't know. So,
yeah, checking out their Wikipedia page, they apparently are a prog rock band and part of the jam band scene like Fish and Grateful Dead.
Yes.
But based originally out of South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah.
So, that's cool.
Just thought I'd throw that your way as a recommendation. I've been listening to it on Apple Music and have been enjoying them.
That's awesome. They're,
you know, very jammy, but it's kind of fun.
Very cool. Talented. So, I will go and check them out after
we're
done. So
there you go. Bonus pick right there.
McGee. Cool.
Yeah.
So this last week, I came across some mind-blowing factoids, and I wanted to share them to blow your mind, Jeff.
Okay, blow away.
Okay, so first one. No. This is a family-friendly show,
up,
darn it.
Back up.
The first one absolutely stunned me. I have told several people this fact, and every single person has immediately gone, no, that can't be. And then they look it up and they go, well, I'll be dipped. Did you know that there are more trees on the planet Earth than there are stars in the Milky Way? Care to guess how many stars in the Milky Way there are and how many trees there might be on the planet Earth? Doesn't seem possible, does it?
Now, here's if you would have asked me, you didn't.
I didn't.
If you would have said which are there more of, stars in the Milky Way or trees, I would have guessed trees.
Really?
Yes, I would have.
Okay.
Yes.
Doesn't seem possible, right?
Well, the Milky Way is not. I mean,
okay,
if you would have said more than in the known universe, I'd call BS. But
no.
Milky Way's, I mean, it's got a lot of stars, don't get me wrong, but it's still a finite amount.
It is. Well, but trees, there's infinite amount of trees.
No, there are a finite amount. There's a ton of trees, I'm just saying.
So this is what blew my mind, and it's not even close. It's not even like there's, you know, 40 billion stars and 41 billion trees. There are estimated to be about 400 billion stars in the Milky Way. It's a lot.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
There are estimated to be over 3 trillion trees on the planet Earth.
Wow. Now, I would have never guessed that many.
I would have never. So, not just like, I mean, that is an order of magnitude.
I was going to go with 800 million. I was going to go like, you know, twice as many.
Nope. 3 trillion trees.
Wow.
Apparently,
that's
there
a
was
lot of trees, man.
Yeah. And this is a new.
We need to cut some of those suckers down. Just cut them right down.
So apparently this is a newish number, I guess. Just in the last few months, there is a group that does these analyses.
One, two, three.
I do not know the scheme that they use, the method that they use to estimate this, but I guess that their new estimate revised that number up by like a substantial amount. Like it went from high hundreds of billions into, well, no, we think it's closer to 3 trillion.
Wow.
But yeah, that just blew my mind.
That's pretty cool.
A couple of other quick facts that this one was surprising to me. More people can speak the Klingon language than can speak Cherokee. That's shocking.
Yeah. That is shocking.
That great grass smell that you get when you cut the grass, which since you have allergies aplenty, you probably hate that smell. But it's actually a chemical distress signal that triggers predators that prey is grazing. And it actually, predators learn to associate that smell with grazing prey and will come a running to get them some dinner. So it is actually the silent screams of your lawn trying to signal the predators.
See, this is just proof that you can't be vegan either, because when you cut vegetables, they scream.
They do, silently and with pheromones, but they still scream. and then one of my favorites, it's maybe not as shocking as the stars trees thing, but I love this fact. At the height of his empire and success, Pablo Escobar was spending about $2,500 a month on rubber bands to hold all of the money that he was making. That is a not insubstantial amount of rubber bands.
That is a lot of rubber bands.
Yeah, so that's like
saying.
30 grand a year just in rubber bands. And I don't, like, how many rubber bands does $2,500 get you? Because I feel like, you know, for a few bucks, you can get a big bag of rubber bands.
Yeah.
I have not even gone to Amazon to find out.
Yeah, I don't know either. I will tell you, you talk about, he probably was getting a lot of his money in small bills.
Well, that doesn't alleviate the fact that $2,500 a month is not a lot of rubber bands.
You mean as a crap ton of
rubber bands? It is a crap ton of rubber bands.
You said not a lot. Well, anywho, what I was going to say is, you know, we went to St. Louis for spring break.
Okay.
And we happened to go to the Federal Reserve.
Okay.
As a, I don't, they call it a the Economy Museum.
All right.
That you can go into. And by the way, getting into the Federal Reserve, not easy.
Oh, you mean they don't just let people wander in off the street?
So
I don't understand that.
They had to have your driver's license, and they ran an instant check, and they
really heavier duty security than I would have guessed.
You had to run your bags through, you know,
yeah, X-ray machine. That doesn't surprise
you had to walk
me.
Through metal detector. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, sure.
Anywho,
sure.
They had a cube that you could get your picture taken with that had $1 million in ones.
It probably wasn't that big of a cube.
Oh, it's huge, dude.
Really?
It is enormous.
Oh, in singles.
In ones.
Okay, because I've seen $1 million in hundreds, and it's a shockingly small pile.
It's a hundredth the size of this cube, actually, I'm going to guess. Just going to throw that out there. It was enormous. I was like, if they would have said, if you guys can just take this, you can have it.
You
would have still
been
there. No.
Well, is it real money?
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, that's a lot to just tie up in a floor display when they could
print.
Well,
it's not a lot to tie up in a floor display when you can print your own frickin' money.
Well, yes, but they have to account for that.
Yeah.
So somewhere on somebody's budget, there is $1 million.
They spent more than $1 million on the museum.
Well,
that's true.
I'm
telling you that right now. So
I was hoping that you were going to say it was like a cube and it was like $1 billion or something. Like, that's real money. And then I was hoping maybe like in little fine print on the money, it was like, this is not real money. Because they print it.
All I was going to say was that it would have taken a lot of rubber bands to put all that money.
Well, that's true.
I'm just saying.
And I just did the math. I just found out that Office Depot sells 1 pound of rubber bands for $7.79.
Yeah.
So $2,500 a month will net you 321 pounds of rubber bands.
Yeah, that's
I do not know how many rubber bands in a bag. I don't think it says. It's just you buy them by the pound. So 321 pounds... of rubber bands. Does it say? It does not say how much they each one is. So no count, but just looking at the picture, I'm guessing 500?
Yeah.
Ish. So yeah, so 320 pounds times 500 is 160,000 rubber bands a month. That's a couple of few rubber bands.
That is.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Just thought that was interesting. So I'm going to throw this one out there. You were getting on me for not having watched the teaser trailer of Rogue One.
Yes.
Have you watched the teaser trailer of the soon-to-be Netflix Voltron Legendary Defender?
I didn't even know that they were going to reboot Voltron.
June, I believe, 10th?
Okay. So coming up soon.
Coming soon. I think it's June 10th. Hold on.
Well, you know, what's interesting is every now and then I am on a mailing list from a company that does geeky t-shirts, and they do four designs every day. It's a company called Shirt Punch. And so every day I get an email with four different t-shirts, and you can get them for $10 a piece. And
okay.
I've gotten a bunch of t-shirts. They're thoroughly nerdy. And just the other day they had a Voltron shirt, and it glows in the dark, and I ordered it.
Okay.
And so it should be on its way.
Voltron is coming June 10th with 13 episodes, and it's DreamWorks Animation.
Oh, cool.
And it's called Voltron Legendary Defender. It's a reboot of the five lion robots that make one giant robot.
I feel like we shouldn't have to explain it to our audience.
Well, I kind of feel like not either, but there's a teaser trailer out there that you can go watch right now.
Which will be done as soon as we are finished recording.
And
that is awesome.
Stephen Nguyen from The Walking Dead is one of the voice actors.
Stephen Nguyen, which one is he?
He is Glenn.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to just assume that the Asian-sounding name was the Asian guy, but probably could have put that one together
that was
myself.
Probably pretty fair.
Yeah.
Assumption there. Anyway,
well, that's cool.
Voltron. I remember when Voltron was on. I actually had the metal Voltron that came.
part. Oh, there was the big one, right? The big one? Yeah, that's cool. I did not have the Voltron, but I watched the heck. It's because my parents sucked. They were broke when I was a kid. I didn't get the cool toys, but yeah. Oh no, I watched the heck out of the out of Voltron. That's awesome.
Yeah,
it will be watched in full at my house. You've got a note on here about the iPad Pro 9.7, the color sensing features. And I just got to say, I had a chance to play with one this last week, and holy cow, is that cool. One of my coworkers decided to order one, pulled the trigger and got the iPad Pro 9.7 with the pin, and I was able to steal it from them and play with it quite a bit this week. And a couple of things I have to say, I thought I would like the pin a lot more than I ended up liking it. Like,
really?
For playing around in like 53's paper and some of the other drawing apps, it was amazing, no question. But trying to use it for taking notes, it just didn't feel right for me. Now, I'm not saying
you're a lefty too.
I'm a lefty.
I kind of feel like that makes it totally irrelevant.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I was hoping that I would play with it and then
just, I love it for taking notes,
fall in love, and I didn't. I did not just fall in love.
Oh, that's too bad.
But the other thing, I mean, obviously,
or good, depending on how you look at it, because that's $100 you don't have to throw something.
Bad anyway. For my nerd cred, good for my wallet.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think my wife is glad that I'm a dirty, horrible lefty who's not now just going, "Honey, come on, I gotta get it. It's amazing." I was shocked at how fast it is. It is. I know they say it's got the new A9X chip, and it is blazing fast, and it is blazing fast. The speakers sound amazing, but the thing that really jumped out at me was I had a chance to enable and disable that the color sensing functionality, where it measures the color temperature of the room you're in and adjusts what white is. And when I first started playing with it, it was turned on, and I didn't notice it. It looked like white. And when I went into settings and flipped it off, it immediately turned a very bluish color. And, you know, re-enabling it, you see it kind of, it's different than the night shift mode that is now in iOS 9. It's a very subtle, but once it makes the adjustment, it's just gorgeous. And you hold a sheet of paper up next to it, and they both look white. And then when you turn that feature off and hold a sheet of paper up next to it, the paper looks white, and the iPad screen looks a garish blue. So honestly, I think that this is an underrated feature that is going to absolutely just dominate in
that
the design
space.
Take
this 12.9-inch iPad Pro right next to me, just throw it against the wall.
Smash it against the wall and then wait until they put that. Because you know they're going to put that in everything.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, like everybody was talking about how like Force Touch was such a game changer. And honestly, this is a very I mean, it's not something you're going to tweak and play with a lot of times, but I think that the benefit of it is going to be huge. And
yeah,
I think
cool.
Designers are going to latch onto it. I really would not be surprised to see this roll out across their product line post-haste as they do hardware refreshes, because it is amazing. It really is. So if you haven't had a chance, go someplace that has the iPads on display and just fiddle with it. It is a subtle little thing, and you will go, holy cow, how come someone hasn't thought of and implemented this sooner than this? It is amazing. So, yeah, two thumbs up, the color sensing, white balance adjustingness of the iPad Pro 9.7. Very cool. What else you got, Jeff?
Okay, I got one. This is kind of, you know, one of those things where we might see benefits from it in, you know, 10 years, but it's still kind of cool and interesting to talk about.
I want benefits now!
Yeah, I know. Researchers at MIT have discovered a third type of magnetism.
What?
Up until now, there have been only two known forms of magnetism.
Like north and south?
Ferromagnetism,
okay.
The kind you see like on your fridge.
Right.
Anti-ferromagnetism, the kind that you use in hard drives.
Okay.
At MIT confirmed the existence of a third kind, which is quantum spinning liquid. And
the heck is that?
It's going to help with quantum computing. It's they found that supercooled crystals exhibit this quantum spin liquid state, where the magnetic directions of each particle never line up, and this odd behavior leads to quantum entanglement that will be ideal for use in computers.
So I don't even know if I can get my head around that.
It says that if scientists can learn how to consistently produce and control that entanglement, they could create a reliable quantum computer, and you could flip qubits, quantum bits, without worrying that nearby materials will throw it off.
Right, because I think that's one of the big problems with current quantum computing is you have to get the particles entangled, and then you have to work really hard to keep them entangled, and they easily detangle, and then you have to re-entangle particle pairs, and that is literally the limit of what I understand about quantum computing, and even that kind of scrambles my noodle a little bit. That is cool.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that story.
Yeah. There you go.
So I think 10 years maybe sounds optimistic, right? Because they've been talking about just batteries, and those are always 10 years away. And this is way more complex sounding than a battery. Huh. All right, so let's see. I've got one here that I just blew me away when I read this. So you've heard of Game of War, right? The mobile platform game that features the buxom Kate Upton and the milk bath and commanding battalions and all of that fun stuff, right? Okay, so this stat just came out this week. People who pay to play Game of War, now they're separating out the non-paying players versus the paying players because they've got a ton of people who don't pay. You can just grind. But people who pay across every person who has paid money for Game of War, players spend an average of $550 on in-app purchases. They spent an average of $550 on in-app purchases in 2015. So I guess this research company had done some work, and they found that the average paying player on a mobile platform spends $86.50 per year, which is just a little bit less than the average person who plays console games pays, which is $91.58 a year. It's like $5 difference, right? And they're saying that that really explains why developers are aggressively pursuing smartphones in the tablet market. And I had a conversation with a coworker recently about Nintendo. And there are some rumors that Nintendo is going to license some of its content for a mobile platform.
Right.
And my coworker was saying, well, why on earth would they do that? Why wouldn't they put it on consoles? And after I read this article, I'm like, well, here's the reason. It's because people are paying as much per year on mobile gaming as they are on console gaming, and there's a lot more mobile devices out there. And let's face it, if Nintendo put out a Mario Brothers for the iPhone, I would pay $5 for that.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Sure, why not?
And I had no idea that the numbers were that high. But anyway, certain games have shown dedicated players will spend way, way more than this average. So this Game of War, the company, the developer is called Machine Zone, has just reported that on average, paying players are spending $549.69 per year. That is more than any other mobile game, and it makes the game the top grossing app in the $34.8 billion gaming business on iOS and Android. So let that sink in for a second. Gaming on just mobile devices in iOS and Android alone is a $35 billion a year business. So apparently there are a few other games that that are huge, but they don't come even close. The number two game is called Big Fish Casino. Apparently, players spend an average of $232 on that. Kabam's Marvel Contest of Champions, players spend $127 annually on. And Supercell's Boom Beach, players spend $117 on. So full disclosure, I play Boom Beach. I downloaded it and got sucked into it. I did spend $4.99 one time, but it is like a huge grind if you were not paying for upgrades. So I get why people are impatient, and it's so easy to just go, I'll spend 99 cents. I'll spend $4.99. And the next thing you know, you've spent hundreds of dollars on these stupid games that really aren't giving you anything. It's just, it boggles my mind. I have no idea what this means for the future of gaming. Like, are we going to see game development like substantially dwindle on consoles and move exclusively to, you know, these mobile micropayment type systems?
I don't think so, because console gaming is always going to be different, because if you look at where Xbox is going, that's Windows, right?
Right.
So they're trying to get into the mods and the more of a PC-like gaming experience. And then PS4, you know, they're coming out with the VR headset. So I think you're just going to see console gaming shift to some different things that you would never really be able to do, or at least not in the foreseeable future, being able to do on your mobile device. But I mean, you definitely are going to see, there's going to be more quantity of games on mobile, because I think it's quicker and faster to produce a mobile game. But yeah, I mean...
Well, and as the companies are quick to point out, there's, what, 800 million iOS devices, and
right.
I'm sure it's got to be close to 2 billion Android devices out there.
Absolutely.
By now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, I don't know what the PlayStation Xbox numbers are, but I'm assuming
not anywhere near that.
A fraction of that, tens of millions maybe.
Yep.
Maybe 100 million units. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I will say, like, it does bother me a little bit. And South Park, I think it was about a year ago, they did a wicked skewering and satiring of mobile gaming, where I just want to pay a couple of bucks. Like, just let me pay $2.99 or $3.99 all in and be done, and let me play the game. But I hate when now it seems like everything is free. Oh, but if you actually want to have fun, you got to spend 99 cents here, 99 cents there. That's really annoying.
It is annoying.
I clearly now see why they're doing it. They are making money hand over fist.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Wow. What's another story you want to talk about?
Okay, I want to talk about HP.
Okay. The new logo?
Yeah, the new logo slash the new computer that came out. I don't know if you saw the new logo.
I did see the new logo, and it's nice. It's sleek.
It's sleek, and I really like it. I think it's very nice. Now, I did see that they're only going to use it on their quote-unquote premium products.
Right. It's going to differentiate the brand.
It's going to differentiate the brand for their premium products, but it's on their new Spectre laptop. I don't know if you saw this.
I knew that it was going to be on a new laptop. I didn't know that the information had been released on what that was.
It's called the HP Spectre.
Okay.
It's the thinnest laptop ever.
Oh, really?
It is thinner than a AAA battery.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, so how does it compare against the MacBook? Because that's only thinner. Like 12 millimeters.
It's thinner.
No.
Yes,
how
it
do
is.
You even do that?
Okay, so here's the thing. It is 2.5 pounds, so it's heavier than the 12-inch MacBook, but it is thinner. And it at $1,170, it's coming with an Intel i7 processor, 8 gigs of memory, and a 13-inch display. So it's much more powerful than the 12-inch MacBook. And it's still going to have a crappy HP trackpad, I want to point out. but it is sexy as hell. So
what's the battery life going to be like? Because I know that the iPad Air is boasting like a 10 or a 12-hour battery.
I do not think that it has...
If it's got an i7, I would think that you would be sacrificing a little bit of performance for...
It does not say. It does not
the
say.
The power.
So.
Wow. Thinner than a AAA battery.
Yes.
Wow. It is 10.4 millimeters thick.
Yeah.
Apple's 12-inch MacBook is 13.1. So it is over almost two millimeters thinner.
But it's sexy looking. I mean, it is a nice looking laptop.
It is kind of, wow. Yeah.
So I just, give some love for HP. That is a nice looking laptop and a good price point for those specs, really.
You know, I mean, I've definitely, in the PC world, I've always had a soft spot for the Sony Vaio line and for HP's laptop line. They definitely have always made some nice looking kit. The pictures aren't necessarily my speed because it's a black and gold combination. If I could get it in silver, maybe, but the design is pretty sleek. And wow, that's impossibly thin. And I'm surprised. I mean, $1,100, that's not bad. I mean, they're definitely nipping at Apple's heels for, the premium market. And it's coming standard with SSDs and speakers designed by Bang & Olufsen.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, I thought that was pretty impressive.
Cool. Very.
Both on the new logo, which I think is much better, and sleek, and kind of on a sleek laptop. So good for you, HP.
That's very cool. So I'm sure everybody has heard of it by now because it's a big story last week. But WhatsApp is enabled end-to-end encryption. I know we've talked a little bit about Apple's fight with the FBI and the DOJ. I don't know what you think about this, Jeff. But apparently now WhatsApp, the app has over 1 billion users, and to put that in perspective, that's one in every 7 people on the planet. And it is now being called a warrantless space by the FBI. And interestingly, Google Hangout and Facebook Messenger are not end-to-end encrypted, and WhatsApp is owned by Facebook. So I'm curious if that means that it will be coming.
I do believe that Apple's what's their messaging service thing?
iMessage.
I believe iMessage is end-to-end encrypted.
Okay, so yeah, here's the interesting thing. iMessage is end-to-end encrypted. But if you have iMessages backed up in iCloud, that is not encrypted. So Apple giveth and taketh away. So if you want it to truly be secured, you have to not choose to back up iMessages in an iCloud backup, which you can do. And then it only lives on your phone. And if you restore to another device, none of your messages will come over. But you will be secure. And it is, I mean, it is nice when you get a new device. You just put in your credentials and everything shows back up. So I don't know. But yes, I'm curious if the other major chat services will follow suit. I don't know if people still use Yahoo Messenger. I haven't use that in, gosh, it feels like decades, but I don't know if that is encrypted, but the article I saw mentioned specifically Hangouts by Google and Messenger by Facebook. The DOJ has not commented. The FBI obviously has said this is a horrible thing. I'm just curious. I mean, does the government now come down on Facebook? Can they legally do anything preemptively? And does this cause American users to start using WhatsApp? Because it is still most heavily used outside the United States. I think that the vast majority of their billion users are, I think India is the leading country for WhatsApp. And I know the Southeast Asia is a heavy user.
I mean, it's something that I think ultimately the Congress is going to have to decide on whether or not encryption is something that is okay or not. And ultimately, you know, I feel like you should be allowed to encrypt your email. I mean,
well, but practically, what does it mean if the government said encryption is not okay?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be weak. We have to have a backdoor.
Right.
What realistically happens? That, I mean, that absolutely kills innovation in America.
Well, it does, but it's, I mean, that's happened before, because that's why, what was it?
There were restrictions on exporting cryptography back in the 90s.
Back in the 90s. So, I mean, it's happened before.
But that just said you couldn't export strong encryption so that other countries couldn't have it. You could still make and use strong encryption within the United States.
Yeah, but I mean, that stifled things. I mean, it did. I don't know what the answer is. And ultimately, I mean, I think that we should have that right. And I think that the FBI making such a big deal about this whole encryption thing is a little disingenuous, because they have more ways to track you and more information now than they've ever had in the past. And being able to encrypt a message that you send over WhatsApp does not deter them from being able to catch criminals.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Because think about it. I mean, 10 years ago, there was no WhatsApp. So, you know,
right.
It just, to me, it's not realistic. I don't know. It's a hard, you know, I can see both sides of it. I mean, ultimately, you know, you want to be safe and you want to feel safe. So I get it. But for me, ultimately, I've got a side on, let's let the math be the math and just stay out of it. I mean,
dirty libertarian.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. It is interesting, and I thought it was interesting that they threw down such a gauntlet with everything that's going on with Apple. So yeah, I'll be curious to see if anything at all comes of this, or if it just quietly goes away. If the other services follow suit, I don't know. I think it's only ultimately good for us as individuals, and I realize we have to take the potential that bad people are going to do bad things, but guess what, folks? Bad people are always going to do bad things, whether
they have
encryption or they don't have encryption. People are going to do horrible things because, in general, some people are horrible.
Yeah,
and that's just the bottom line.
Yep.
What else you got, Jeff?
I assume most of our audience also saw this, but that The Force Awakens is now available on DVD and Blu-ray,
yep.
And that you can watch The Force Awakens with your friendly Sphero BB-8 unit.
Okay, now I saw your headline, but okay, I have the Blu-ray in my hot little hands.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you mean I can watch it with my BB-8 unit?
So if you have a Sphero BB-8 unit, you leave it on the little stand plugged in. There is a on the phone app. There is a thing that says watch Force Awakens with BB-8.
Oh, God. And it sends information to the BB-8?
It sends information as you're watching the Blu-ray.
And it interacts with you.
It interacts with the, so when he does something cute, he laughs and, you know, he gets worried when something bad happens and he gets sad. Yeah. Yeah.
That's, wow.
Yeah.
You know, the phrase, just because you can doesn't mean you should, pops to mind.
No. You take that back because BB-8 is all the cute. And
I am as big a nerd as they come, and even I'm just going, why? That's no, Disney.
See,
no.
Okay, I've done it, and it is freaking
awesome. Of course
awesome.
You have. So, I never want to hear you make fun of my digital calipers or my magnifying visor again, because you have watched Star Wars with your BB-8 and had it react to the BB-8 on the screen.
Hell yeah.
That is like an
What's called awesome.
That
puts
digital
calipers to shame.
You are a nerd to the power of dork. That's what you are. That's just, you just put an exponent in there. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally.
And I'm
going to
throw
the power
one
of nerd
in real quick, just because that was a short one.
All right.
I don't know if you saw this, but IKEA is making a virtual kitchen showroom in VR.
No, but that is cool. Why aren't more people doing that?
So they are, through Steam, making an app for the HTC Vive, which puts you in a customizable make-believe kitchen where you can play with the drawers and change the surfaces and check heights. And what's interesting is that you can experience it from different heights. So you can say, oh, now I'm a kindergarten age kid, and you can kind of see, oh, this is what it would look like to a kid, and maybe understand, you know, I don't want this, you know, jutting thing coming out at this, you know, level because my kid's going to run his face into it. But anyway, I thought it was pretty interesting.
That is cool. And, you know, honestly, that's a great idea. And how long until, you know, Home Depot and, you know, Lowe's and all of those have that? Because
absolutely.
It's really a good idea. And I'll finally be able to answer, should I put in the Publi or the Fergner, sir?
That's right. Absolutely.
That's cool. I'm curious if they'll roll it out to, like, other VR type apps, be able to use it with, like, Google Cardboard or something like that.
Yeah, that would be a great great idea for them. I hope they do.
So you've got one in here I want to touch on, because I thought that this was an April Fool prank. Is Microsoft really bringing Bash to Windows 10?
Yes, they really are bringing Bash
really
to Windows 10.
They really are.
They really are bringing Bash to Windows 10.
What decade do I live in? What has happened to the world?
So it basically is just going to translate Ubuntu Bash commands into Windows shell and allow you to use terminal to develop in Windows.
That is crazy.
It's freaking awesome.
Did anybody out there listening ever think that we would live in a world where you would be able to write a Bash shell script and run it natively in Windows? I feel like Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates are spinning in their grave, and they're not even dead yet. They're pre-spinning. Like, if we could wrap wire around them and harness the energy of their spinning, we could power the world. That's nuts. And did I also see that they were talking about putting in binary compatibility so you would be able to run Linux binaries too?
Yes.
I thought I read that. And I just knew for sure, because it came out like the 30th or the 31st. And I thought, oh, that's April Fool's.
It came out the 30th. But in fairness, that was because, you know, the Windows conference was the 30th and the 1st. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, but it's going to be part of the Windows 10 Anniversary Edition.
That's awesome. I guess I'm going to have to get that now.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a great, great thing.
It is, and they're talking about SQL Server on Linux, and I know. At what point does Windows just become Linux? I have no idea.
Let me put this one out there. It may be too late by the time I say this, but I wanted to at least put this in the show notes in case it's still available. If you are a T-Mobile customer, you can sign up for the free, the MLB TV's premium membership, which is a savings of $110. and you can watch every MLB game available for the season.
Now, can you only do that on a T-Mobile device, or does that give you an MLB TV premium account?
It gives you an MLB TV premium account. So what you have to do is you have to go to the offer on your T-Mobile device sign up for it on your T-Mobile device. But once you sign up for it, you just have an account and you can watch it from anywhere.
Now, I do remember
Watching it on Xbox.
Yeah. Do you have a T-Mobile?
Oh, see, you caught that.
He's buried the lead. I'll let you get to that.
Yeah.
I did see that headline, and I thought that there was a date on it, and it's coming up real soon. I know this show's going to come out on the 12th, and it may be a day or two too late. If not, it's going to be like right now. So you got to listen to the show and go act on it if you didn't know about this.
Oh, it's April 10th, I'm sorry. I did tweet it.
If you're listening in the past somehow, are golden.
Well, so to bury the lead, I switched to T-Mobile, and I know. So I talked about it last week that, you know, save any money. And well, I have this coworker whose son works for T-Mobile as well. I had the coworker that switched to T-Mobile. I also have a coworker whose son works at T-Mobile.
Okay.
And she was like, well, you know, because I was talking about, I looked into it and I couldn't really save any money. And she's like, that's not true. I know you can save money. You know, go talk to my son.
Okay.
So I got his email address and we were emailing back and forth. And basically, there are a couple of reasons. I know you've had T-Mobile in the past and your experience, especially inside buildings, was not the greatest.
That was my biggest complaint. It's not so much the service in general. Like out of doors, it worked as good as anything else. But inside buildings, especially steel and stone, it was atrocious. And I don't know if they've gotten any better. I know that they were waiting on some spectrum that was previously being used for a low-power television station in our market to become available. I don't know if that ever happened, so I don't really know where they are with that. I haven't been a T-Mobile customer now for – it's been about 6 or 7 months. So, I mean, it's not like it was 2 years ago. It's been recent-ish, but I had that problem all the way up until when I switched in this last October.
Okay. Well, anyway, come to find out, I was able to save about $60 a month.
Wow. That's a lot. Like we talked, that's $700 a year.
Yeah. And we all got phones on top of it.
Did you switch to Android?
No. We all got iPhones.
Okay.
So, we ended up getting, 2 6S plus 64 gigs, 1 6S plus 16 gig and 2 6S 16 gig.
Okay.
And, you know, here's the thing. Like, my son's, he had a 6 Plus.
Right.
And he's been having some problems. The screen's been doing weird things. There's no cracks. There's nothing. I mean, it looks perfectly fine. And if you take it in to trade it in like we did, they thought this is the best thing ever because, you know, it looks perfect, right? But he's been having problems, and it, like, becomes unresponsive sometimes. Huh. And it's just been a royal pain in his butt. And so he was like, well, I'm just going to have to save up some money and buy something. Mm-hmm. To get me through because I can't deal with this anymore. And so that on top of, you know, switching carriers now, they're paying for everything, you know, like,
okay,
we'll give you all the money that you still owe on your old phone.
Right.
Assuming you trade it in.
Right.
And then, you know, saving the $60 a month that includes all the prices for our phones.
Like, wow.
So it's saving us money. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where the only reason that is, I mean, really, with all the new phones that we're getting, is they had a deal like on iPhones for buy one, get one 50% off.
Okay.
But still, I mean, you know,
that's... Wait, I mean, that's not an insubstantial amount of money. I mean, that's got to be $450 per phone.
Right.
Or, well, for the half off.
Times two. So that's like $900. So that's why it's cheaper. I mean, but it is cheaper.
So it's probably been about a week, right? At least
it has been a week. I have had not a single freaking problem, not one. And my speeds are fast. Like, it is so much faster here in my house. What's interesting, here's what I find interesting. So I'm sitting in my house and normally I only have like two dots of service and I'm like, two dots. But I run speed tests occasionally and I'm getting like 40 megabit down.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's fast.
Now, I know you work downtown. Have you done speed tests downtown?
Yeah,
how's it been?
It's been, when I'm downtown, it's usually between 12 and 15.
Well, must be doing upgrades even in the last 6 months.
So it's still plenty fast. Now, you know, I don't work at the same building that you do anymore. So I don't work in a big, you know, stone building. I work in a steel building, though. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Anyway, I haven't had a single problem. Huh. I've been pretty happy with it, and it's saving me a ton of money. And here's the way I looked at it is, if I stick with it for 6 months, even...
You're ahead, right?
I can switch back, because all the carriers right now, and, you know, who knows, maybe in 6 months they won't be doing it, but I kind of assume they will be, where they'll pay off your old phone. So if we hate it, you know, 6 months from now, I'll just switch back to AT&T or go to Verizon or whatever, because who cares? I mean,
now, had you switched prior to going out of town for your trip?
Yeah.
So how did you find the service to be driving
in
no between?
Really? I literally have had zero problems.
That's impressive. Because it's been a while. I mean, I haven't obviously tested it rigorously outside of the metro area, but definitely had done some trips over the last year and a half or so where you get outside of a major city and all of a sudden you go to barely having voice data or voice service and no data service. And, you know, those are some complaints. I don't know if it's still like that or not. Obviously, it sounds like you're having a good experience. That's cool.
Yeah. So we'll
see.
Very cool. I mean, for now, it looks like it's treating me pretty well.
Interesting.
And I went from rose gold back to just normal gold because,
yeah,
you know.
You're not going to be a trendsetter anymore? How are people going to know you have the latest?
They don't, and that's okay.
So
I've decided.
Since you've switched now in the spring, does that mean that you are not going to be able to upgrade this fall?
It actually does not, because T-Mobile's deal, as long as you've paid off half of the price of the phone...
Then you can do the jump?
Then you can do the jump, and since I got buy one, get one half off...
You're already half off on
I'm
one.
I'm already half off on one.
Right? I'm curious if they'll pull the, well, we mean half of what you paid, so it's half of the half.
No, because I actually had to... if you look at my monthly bill, it's full price, and then they send me a gift card for half the amount. And as soon as they send me that gift card for half the amount,
it just takes it off.
No, I'm just going to go. I mean, I could use that gift card for whatever if I wanted to.
Oh, I see. So you're paying the full price, and they're sending you $400.
They're sending me a $450 gift card or $425 gift card. Whatever.
I gotcha.
But as soon as I get that, I'm just going to put it on the phone.
Sure,
You know. Anyway.
Prepay it.
So,
awesome.
Yeah. So, you know.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it so far. I mean, you know, I'm sure there's going to be places where the service is not as good, but I'm saving a lot of money, and we all got new phones. So my daughter didn't even have a phone before. She had an old HTC One, the first edition HTC One. So, you know, that's a huge jump upgrade
for her.
And one of the other things, my daughter happens to be going on a trip this summer to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And T-Mobile in Europe is the bomb diggity. So when you take your T-Mobile phone to Europe, once you turn it on, it basically comes up and says, oh, you're on T-Mobile. You get free unlimited 2G service.
Right.
But it's still free, unlimited. Right. Free texts, and it's 20 cents a minute for any phone calls.
Oh, wow. Even international.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So when she goes to Europe, I'll be able to track where she's at. You know, we'll be able to FaceTime.
You're going
to
pull a Liam Neeson?
Yeah,
when she gets abducted and you have to use your special set of skills.
So anyway,
yeah, that's cool.
We're pretty happy with
Very
it.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
So speaking of phones, I want to throw one in because I know that we talk about Apple a lot, and I want to talk about a new phone I just saw that is coming soon. I don't think it's available yet. But I did not know this. I've heard of Huawei. I'm not exactly sure how it's pronounced, but they have a new flagship phone out called the P9 that has a Leica-endorsed dual camera on the back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have looked much at this phone, but
it's pricey.
Yes, it is. But now, I did not know this. So Huawei is now the third largest smartphone manufacturer.
Right.
They have moved up and is now Apple, Samsung, and Huawei. And this new phone has a color sensor and a monochrome sensor. So I guess the interesting thing, and I did not realize this, but Huawei makes the Nexus 6P for
yes.
Google.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a new phone. It's an update from their previous P8. I guess they don't look a whole lot different from each other. Slight
it's very
redesign,
Apple-esque.
Very Apple-esque. Yeah. Thin. I've heard it's well built. They make their own processor. It is the Kirin 955. It's an octa-core. And what's interesting is it has four cores running at 2.5 gigahertz and four cores running at 1.8 gigahertz. So I thought that was an interesting way to do it for battery life. Yep. It has 3 gig of RAM, 32 gig of internal storage standard, and a 3000 milliamp battery. But what makes it really interesting is this this dual camera. There is some confusion as to exactly what Leica approved means, because Leica is not making the lenses. Huawei is saying that this has been developed in partnership with Leica, and there is, I guess, some confusion as to exactly what that means. But it does have the Leica brand on the camera, and apparently it's legit. It has dual 12-megapixel cameras right next to each other, and apparently with the monochrome sensor, they say that it improves contrast in photos by 50%, and it triples the light information taken in, because the monochrome sensor doesn't have the RGB filter.
Right.
So it can soak up a lot more light. They're saying that the low light capability is supposed to be very impressive. A Berlin-based photographer, Alex Kopke, said, quote, "It's the first smartphone which could really replace my pro camera. In the past, I had to shoot during the day with smartphones, but with a P9, it doesn't seem to matter." And Huawei is saying that the new sensor captures 270% more light than Apple's iPhone 6S and 90% more light than Samsung's Galaxy S7, which is supposed to be a real powerhouse for low light performance. So
this is interesting. I wonder if this is a preview of what we're going to be seeing in the iPhone 7, though, because there's a lot of rumors going around that that's going to be a dual camera. So I just wonder if this is a preview of what we might be seeing upcoming from Apple. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm sure if they are implementing something, it's going to be of their own devising, and it's not going to be co-branded with Leica
Not. No, I don't mean that. I just mean the dual camera and what they're doing with it. I kind of feel like that the low light performance of camera phones is one of the big things that Apple's going for, and this might be a solution that they have been pursuing as well. I don't know. Well, it'll be interesting. That's awesome.
And you cannot say that Apple doesn't have some secret sauce in their software. So if anybody's going to come up with a way to cook two photos together and make it look amazing, I think it's going to be Apple.
Speaking of phone, I mean, this phone really interests me. I thought it was really cool, but it is pricey.
Yeah, I didn't see a price on it, so
$900 was the price I saw.
Oh, that is salty. That's above Samsung prices.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
But you know, who knows? I mean, again, that was not an official price. That was the we think this is going to come in at $900. So we'll see.
Right.
Excuse me. While I was at the T-Mobile store, I did have the opportunity to check out both the new Galaxy S7, the S7 Edge, and the LG G10.
Oh, I didn't know LG had a new one out.
Yeah, they have the LG G10, and it's the one that has the interchangeable like packs. Like you can do one that's extra battery, or you can do one that's a camera. And but anyways, you know, I will say the S7 and the LG G10 were both really nice phones. I played around with both of them. I liked them. Ultimately, you know, it comes down to, I talked to my wife about it, and she's like, "I'm happy with Apple. I like iOS. I don't want to have to relearn this stuff." I kind of decided that, as a family, everyone having the same, like having iOS is really useful.
It is. Yeah. Living in the ecosystem makes a big difference.
Living in the ecosystem is very useful because, you know, I can see where my kids are with, you know, Find My Friends, and I can, you know, FaceTime with them, and I can, you know, use the messaging with them.
Right.
And so we just decided to do all Apple devices. But I will say that I was tempted because the G10 camera, very interesting. It has two cameras as well. Now, they went a little different direction. One is a wide angle. And one is more the normal camera aspect. And it was really interesting. The S7's camera, really good. The S7 screen, oh my gosh.
It's gorgeous. It's well built.
Just gorgeous. The fingerprint sensor worked really well. I was shocked. I have to admit that Samsung Pay, it really is better than Apple Pay. It just is.
Well, because of how it can work with anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, again, because of ecosystem decisions, we just all went with Apple. And I still think Apple hardware is just the best. The LG was awesome. The Samsung was awesome. I really do feel like build quality when you are holding it in your hand, it does feel nicer.
Right.
But I would have to give the edge to the Samsung on screen quality. I'd have to give the edge to the S7 in camera. The big drawback to me on the Samsungs are all the crap they put on it. I mean, I just praise them for Samsung Pay, which is quote unquote crap that they put on it. But everything, they just put so much stuff on it, and it is not pure Android. It's not a good Android experience. The LG 10, more close to default
Android. Yeah.
It was really nice. I probably, if I would have done it, would have went with the S7 Edge. I really think that that's a beautiful phone, and I
it
like
is.
The Edge screen. So anyway, I didn't. I got another 6S Plus, but I was tempted. I was definitely tempted.
Well, that's very cool. The amazing thing to me is that, you point out that Samsung still has a lot of crap installed, and it's much better than it was a few years ago.
It is much better than
it was.
Which
makes you go, wow, how did we tolerate that? I still wish that Google would leverage their power like Apple has and take over the OS, and basically the only differentiation at the manufacturer level then is the hardware design and build.
You say that, but then you wouldn't get something like Samsung Pay.
Well, except they could leverage it as an application on top of it that somehow authenticates there's a, there's something identifier in there that this is a Samsung, so we can use Samsung Pay, or the hardware physically isn't present on non-Samsung devices, so the app wouldn't work. I mean, you could make that work. It boggles me that Google still doesn't have the control over pushing the updates out like Apple does.
The whole Samsung Pay thing, I wonder if Apple steals that.
If they can. It's probably a patent intellectual property issue.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. And, kudos to Samsung for figuring it out.
I really thought that we would see more Apple Pay.
The adoption has just not been quick.
The adoption has not been quick. And I think it sucks because it is so convenient. I love it so much.
Yeah.
And I want it everywhere.
I was someplace this last week, and it escapes me now where I was. And it was a little place. It was still a chain, though, just a little chain. And they had the register that had the NFC logo on it and everything. And I said, oh, great. I tried to use my watch, and it wouldn't do anything. And there was a young lady working there, and I said something about using Apple Pay, and she said, oh, no, our registers don't do that. And I said, well, it has the logo on the screen, like not even printed on the terminal, but it was on the screen, like in software, the little NFC payment logo. And she's like, no, it's not turned on. None of them work. And I'm like, well, that's stupid. Why is it on display? She's like, I don't know. I mean, why is it there? You have the hardware, you have the capability. Why is it not enabled? And that frustrates me. Frustrates the hell out of me. But anyway. And I don't remember now. It was completely unimportant where it was, but it was someplace, and I couldn't use it, and I had to dig in my pocket and pull out my credit card like a Neanderthal, and I want to pay with my wrist.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. Well, I know we've been talking a good long time. Why don't you tell us what you love, Jeff, and we will wrap it up and let these people get back to their fine week.
I picked another iPad Pro device. It is the Fenty iPad 12.9-inch case.
Case. Imagine that.
Yeah, I know. Link in the show notes. It's cheap. It was less than $20. Fake pleather or whatever. But it's nice fake pleather. And, it stands up both ways that you'd want it to stand up. It has the magnetic enclosure that automatically turns off and on the screen when you open and close it. And, really nice. Really nice.
It does look nice. Let me guess. You went with orange.
Gee, imagine that.
Because you are an orange kind of guy. But it looks like they've got a ton of different patterns and colors and designs.
It's really well made. I can, honestly say that I'm really happy with it. And, the Apple cases are nice, but they are so spendy, and this is not. So there
okay,
you go.
I'm a big nerd. They have one that makes it look like a Mead composition book.
Yes,
I would have probably gotten that one because I am a big nerd. That's awesome. I like that.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, so what I love is probably one that you should love because you are the guy that loves musicals. So I am about to talk about a musical. Shocker, because I am the person who's always made fun of other people who like listening to musicals, and I am hooked. I am absolutely addicted. Have you heard of Hamilton?
Have I heard of Hamilton? Look.
Okay, I had to assume.
I might live in Iraq, but I don't live under a rock.
I had to assume, but why have you not talked about it? It is amazing.
Okay, just because I've heard of Hamilton doesn't mean that I've heard Hamilton.
You haven't listened to it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my gosh.
So every time I hear them talk about it, they talk about the rapping, and I'm kind of like, maybe.
It is amazing.
Really?
It is amazing. Okay, so let me drop it on you, what it is. So it's a musical about Alexander Hamilton, and prior to listening to it, I knew like three things about Alexander Hamilton. I knew he was on the $10 bill, I knew he had something to do with the Treasury Department, and I know he got shot by Aaron Burr because of the Michael Bay Got Milk commercial from 1993. And that was about all I knew about Alexander Hamilton.
Were there explosions in that?
There were not. And I did look this up, and this is an interesting fact. It was named one of the best commercials of the 90s. And so you young whippersnappers that don't remember it, go Google it, because it's actually a pretty funny commercial. It was written, the music and lyrics were written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, and it is inspired by the 2004 biography called Alexander Hamilton by Ron Chernow. It's a mix of hip-hop, R&B, jazz, vintage pop, and just kind of straightaway Broadway-type tunes. It's a musical, but it's unique because the entire play is sung. So if you listen to the album, you have listened to everything. You've heard it all. It's not like listening to, a different piece where all you're getting is the music and none of the in-between dialogue.
So it's an operetta.
I suppose it would be.
Similar to Les Miserables.
There you go. I've never listened to that.
That is also sung the entire play.
The crazy thing, though, is it is very R&B. It is very rap, but it is incredibly well written. Like, the lyrics are smart. There are some historical inaccuracies, so I don't want to say it is historically absolutely correct, but it is very historically dense. There's a lot of information packed in. It's incredibly catchy. And I guess the historical inaccuracies have been openly admitted by Miranda as dramatic license and storytelling. But to give you an idea of how good this is, I was looking on Amazon. It has over 800 reviews as of the time I looked this up, and it had an average of 4.9 stars. There were only 7 one-star reviews, and 6 of those were complaints about CDs being scratched or downloadable files being unplayable. He also has written several other things. Miranda was responsible for the Spanish translation of West Side Story. He wrote and stars in a musical called In the Heights, which I listened to. It's just very catchy as well. Maybe not as much as Hamilton, but you can listen to it on Amazon Prime, Apple Music, Spotify. It is absolutely worth checking out.
I will have to do that.
You will just go nuts, and it will be, I promise you this, knowing how much you like musicals.
Oh, I'm sure I'll love it.
It will be the only thing you listen to for 2 solid weeks.
That's awesome.
It is so well done. It actually prompted me to go get the book, and I am reading that, and it is fascinating. So I highly, highly recommend checking it out. If you are at all interested in good music and history, it's amazing. I really, really want to go see it. Right now, it is only playing on Broadway, and apparently it is so sold out that tickets are not available for like 2 years. I guess they're putting together a touring production that is going to come to Chicago and San Francisco this year, which I assume is also going to be ludicrously expensive and hard to get tickets to, but definitely one that I would go out of my way to go see. I'm excited to see it coming to Chicago because that's cool. One is reasonably close enough. I might be able to find a way to make that happen. So cool. Anyway, check cool, that cool. out. We want to thank our patrons for all of your support, guys. Especially, I think you had the right street. You just maybe had the wrong house on that Maserati that was driving by last week. But thank you, Carl, Dennis, Jamie, Jeffrey, Jimmy, John, Kai, Scott, and Todd. We really appreciate it. If you have a question, a rant, a comment, we would definitely welcome you giving us a call on our comment line. That number is 317-643-1212. You can talk to a machine as God intended and not a real human. If you want to follow us on Twitter, that would be awesome. We are at No Better Show. You can visit our website at nobettershow.com. Shoot us an email. We love getting emails from you guys, and that is always at feedback@nobettershow.com. We read them all. We check them out. If yours is interesting, we will put it on the air. Heck, if it's not interesting, we'll probably put it on the air because, you know, we like feedback. We will make you internet famous. You are welcome in advance. Please do the iTunes thing. Give us a review. Put some stars in there. Tell people about us. Helps us keep growing. That is awesome. And you can always support us on Patreon at patreon.com/nobettershow. We appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. You have just listened to the No Better Than Average podcast, so hopefully you know better than average too. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.